You're listening to Church Unplugged, the podcast of Christ Community Chapel. In each episode, we look at questions and topics that are connected to our faith in Jesus and the way that plays out in our everyday lives. In this episode, we're looking at the question, how does God speak to us? So here at CCC, we've been in a year of listening to God, but the question we want to ask today is, how do we actually hear His voice? How do we know it's Him? How do we know what He's saying to us? It's a really important discussion for us as Christians. Welcome in to Church Unplugged. Welcome into Church Unplugged. I'm Jimmy Cozy, part of the team here at CCC. Our guests today are Zach Weirach, Joe Coffey, and Stacy DiNardo. And our topic today is, how do we hear from God, or how does God speak to us? So this year at CCC has been all about listening to God. We want to hear the voice that God has for us, what He wants to say to us. So how do we actually hear from Him? What are the ways that He speaks to us? How do we know that it's God who's speaking to us, and what He wants from us? That's our starting point for today.
I think an important place to start is to say that one of the things the Bible makes clear is that God does want to speak to us, and that He does want to speak to us in a way we can understand. So throughout the Bible, like throughout the Old Testament, God is speaking to the person or people that He has determined to reveal Himself to. And then, of course, through Jesus, ultimately, God is speaking. And then through the apostles and the scriptures, God is speaking. So I think if you get that first point right or wrong, it's going to send you on a certain trajectory about whether or not God is wanting to speak. And if He's wanting to speak, is He wanting to speak in a way that we can understand and we can? Because I think most of the wrong approaches to hearing from God assume either God isn't speaking and we have to try to force Him, or He is speaking, but it's in a way that we have to unlock or unravel, or and that could take us. So I think the starting point is just to say that the God of the Bible is a communicative God, a God who wants to be understood, who's speaking in a way people can understand.
How would you warn people? I know, we all talk about God speaking primarily through the Bible.
Yeah.
There's written word. How do you try to help people or warn people about taking things out of context, taking promises that were not meant for them, but meant for, let's say, the nation of Israel?
Yeah.
How do you even try to coach somebody like that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot goes into that. I mean, about learning how to read the Bible, how to understand what part. I mean, all of the Bible is applicable to me, but not in maybe the same way it was applicable to the original audience, understanding kind of where you are in the story of the Bible, who the intended original audience is, what the implications of that. I mean, there's a lot yeah. to that. But it starts with maybe just saying that there's always a macro point that God is making that cuts across time and space and culture and generation. So if I look at God leading Israel into the promised land, there are a number of macro points. God makes promises. God keeps promises against all odds, against all obstacles. He can be trusted. God desires a people for Himself, all these things. But then there are micro points that are kind of in the moment. So God says to Joshua and the people of Israel, pick up your trumpet, march around Jericho 7 times. The walls are going to come down. He's not telling me that when I come up against a problem in life, I can, right. That's a micro point. But there's a larger macro point, which is, hey, when I come up against obstacles, God will overcome those obstacles, but He might do it in ways that I wouldn't expect, mm-hmm. and right. He might ask me to do things that yep. don't seem to make sense. That so I think toggling between that macro and micro point is a skill. It's like a muscle. You get better at using that muscle the more you use it.
Jesus. Yeah,
yeah. And I think most people, when we talk about hearing from God, they're usually not thinking about reading the Bible and hearing from. They're thinking about, yeah. Should I take this job?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Should I go to this particular college? Should I make this purchase or whatever? So how do you coach somebody with that?
I think a starting point for me is to encourage people to walk with people and see, how are you walking with Jesus? I guess the way I think about it is that the closer I am walking with Jesus, the more time I am spending in His Word, wanting to pray, to spend time with God, usually will help inform the fact that I am walking closely enough with God that I'm not needing to hear this audible voice, mm-hmm. that my own decision-making factors as I'm walking close and wanting and yearning to lean on him will help me and guide me in making best decisions. I think that, yeah, it pains me when people will get stuck in just paralyzed in a decision making because they're really just wanting to I have to hear from God. I have to hear from God. When again, as a follower of Jesus, who's desiring again to honor God with their life, there might not be a wrong decision between these two choices. There could be just step and walk forward in what it is God's put in front of.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good distinction too, to be, there's a lot in the Bible about wisdom, and mm-hmm. wisdom is yep. really making a decision based on principles and what you know about God rather than God telling yeah. you what to do. I remember years ago talking to a guy, as an older man, had kind of a charismatic bent, and he was telling me that one time he went through a phase where, because of what he read, I think it was in Isaiah, where it says that when you will hear a voice behind you saying, turn to the right or turn to the left, something like that. And so he took that and he thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So he wouldn't even take his map. This was back when you use maps. And he came to a stop sign, and it was a T, and he prayed and said, which way should I go? And he felt impressed to turn left. He turned left. He was about 2 miles down the road, realized it was the wrong way. And it really threw him. And he said, I stopped my car and I said, God, I don't understand. I brought this to you and I went the wrong way. And he said, Joe, as clearly as God ever spoke to me, he said, Carl, quit asking me stupid questions. I thought that was such a great answer. Yeah. Because I thought, yeah, there are certain things where God has given us wisdom and freedom to go ahead and make decisions. I worry about, I know this is a year of listening to God, and I think what we're doing is great in heading to the scriptures. Anybody who's been in ministry any length of time has had people come in to their office and said, I prayed about this, and God, I have a peace about this. And it is not, they just wanted affirmation. It's kind of like if my wife asked me what I want for dinner, but she's already made the decision, and she just wants affirmation. That's what they were going to God for.
Yeah, I think that you use the word freedom, Joe, and I think that's a really important word, because a lot of the way Christians look to find the will of God is really has more in common with paganism than it does Christianity. I mean, Kevin DeYoung wrote a great book on this called Finding the Will of God, subtitle, A Pagan Notion. And this hey, if I walk outside and the trees are blowing, that means this. And but bound up in that is this idea that I have to work really hard to do exactly the thing that God wants me to do. Whereas in the Bible, when God speaks, you know.
Right.
Like when God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh, he gets the burning bush. Moses isn't like, is this really God?
Should I?
It's a bush that's on fire but not consumed. Now, he's not sure he wants to obey.
Right.
When God tells Jonah go to Nineveh, Jonah doesn't go, well, was that God, or was that the burrito I ate, or was that the wind? Or, And I just think we live in such fear of getting it wrong. Right. And I think, A, God can speak clearly, and B, God's love for us is not bound up in us finding just the right path. And that's paganism, not Christianity.
Well, I think, too, even the illustrations you used are interesting to me, too, because in both those illustrations, when God spoke, it was not something that somebody wanted to do. A lot of times when God is speaking to me, I resist it.
Yeah.
Because obedience, sometimes it's cutting against my will, and God's got to get my attention to say, this is the way I want you to go.
Yeah, I wanted to ask that question. Can any of you think of a time where you feel like you genuinely, where you did genuinely hear from God, and what was that like? What were the circumstances, and how did it play out?
Yeah, I did, and I'm always wary of sharing this because I don't think it happens very often to people. It happened to me once that I can think of, and that's when I had my conversion experience driving from South Florida to Orlando, and I was asking God after I felt like he welcomed me home, which was the most dramatic thing most wonderful thing I'd ever experienced. And I said, what do you want me to do now? And I felt like the voice said transfer, and I said, okay, I'll transfer to Auburn because I wanted to play in the SEC.
Perfect.
And I felt
you want me to upgrade, God. Got you.
Yeah, and that's exactly what. And I felt like him said no, and I said okay, where? And I felt like he said Taylor. Yeah. So when I and the only reason I would think that that really was like that. One, they were not answers I expected, but the other is that when I went through the process of giving up my scholarship and walking away from South Florida and doing and standing up to the coaches and all of that, it was very, very difficult. Yeah. I love those coaches. They did right by me. But I needed confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just saying to them, I have to do this because I feel like God has told me this is where I'm going and
the
this
time,
is what I'm doing.
Were you familiar with Taylor? Had you had contact with him? Where did you? Was
now,
that,
the, now
did
that's
you
the other.
Like that was out of thin air?
It was the only Christian school I knew of because my dad had, my parents had gone there.
Okay.
So that, I mean, so even then, if somebody said to me, "Are you sure that God spoke to you?" I would go, "Yeah, I don't know." I mean, there's an explanation for that.
Yeah.
It's not something I went, "Oh, I had to look it up on a computer." And, well, computers didn't exist. But I'd look it up and go, "Oh, there is a place called Taylor." You know, that's not it. That was the only Christian school that I knew of. I did know that I wanted to go from that moment. I wanted to go into ministry because I was thinking there's no better way to spend my life than telling people about this. So.
Yeah. For me, I feel like when I was a youth pastor in Central Illinois, and I was thinking about church planting, and I had made this huge spreadsheet of all the different cities and neighborhoods and communities where I thought Amy and I might fit. And it was, I remember praying at one point at 2 o'clock in the morning at my kitchen table, saying to God, "You got to either tell me where you want me to go plant, or I got to let this go because I'm starting to not be good at my current job because I can't stop thinking about." What's next? And, you know, I felt really strongly that God wanted me to send an email to the person in my spreadsheet from Cleveland, even though I'd never been to Cleveland. I had not been to the area that was where God wanted us to go. I think the thing is that the only danger in stories like that, I think one is important to note that they're the outworking or the practical application of what God has already said. Mm-hmm. So already had, like in my story or in Joe's, we already had the Great Commission, right? I mean, God has already said, look, this is what I'm about. And in those stories, he's not saying something new as much as he's targeting, right? Hey, your role, Zach, your role, Joe, in this is going to be. But the second thing is the only danger becomes if I make that equivalent to Scripture.
Right.
Because it's entirely possible we had gone. I mean, now I look back and I go, it must have been God because, God blessed the work we did in Cleveland and that led to CCC and God's blessing here. And but if it had gone the other way, if I'm not careful, if I make that on par with Scripture, then all of a sudden I have to wrestle through questions like, did God mislead me? Is God lying? Is God not faithful? Yeah.
So if you had somebody from the congregation who was sitting in your office and they're saying, they're trying to make a decision, and then they're saying, "I want to hear from God. How do I do it? What steps would you encourage them to take?"
You know, I mean, one other avenue we haven't talked about that I would add and would include in what you're just asking there would be that, again, other Christians and other believers are a really great people speaking to your life, not ones that are just going to always agree with you. But again, I actually was talking with a high school student who was kind of asking this very question a couple weeks ago. And admittingly, as a high school student, she's like, "I don't understand all of God's word yet for you to say, go to God's word and what does it say?" But again, I said, well, that's why, you're here. You're here in a circle with other Christians and other believers that can help you as you're trying to discern and what Scripture is saying and what God is saying and what might be a good path for you. So being in community is a huge part of hopefully being able to listen and hear what God is doing too. So
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, I was just telling someone this the other day after I preached and they asked a question like this. And I was saying, number one, you got to read the Bible. And number two, you got to read it in community.
Yeah.
Because you'll bend it, you'll twist it, you'll, because we're sinners. That's what we do. So community is a great way of, but I think Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes in the Gospel of John, he will help you to remember all that I've taught you, right? And so I think Jesus is giving us a two-step process there. Someone once told me, you can't remember what you don't know. Mm-hmm. So I have to fill my heart and head with the words of God and Scripture and trust that as I do that, the Holy Spirit will make application of those things. So it's a both and, right? So a Christian is not filling their head and heart with Scripture. I think Jesus is saying, will not have provided the Spirit the
ammunition.
It's like
you don't speak the right language to be able to.
Yeah, that he uses. And but a Christian who is filling their heart and their head with Scripture should assume a dependency on the Spirit to help them remember and apply. That's what Jesus was saying. So it's a both-and approach, which is why it's unfortunate that a lot of times you see churches tend to put themselves in one of two categories, like we're all about the Bible or we're all about the Holy Spirit. And all they're doing is emphasizing one of what Jesus said is a two-step thing. And I think we need both. We need the scripture and we need the spirit. We need the spirit and we need the scripture. And a Christian life worth living is full of both.
You've been listening to Church Unplugged, the podcast of Christ Community Chapel. In each episode, we're going to look at topics and questions that are related to our faith in Jesus and to the way that it plays out in everyday life. We want your feedback. We want your suggestions. If you've got ideas or questions that you'd like to hear answered on the show, you can email us at churchunplugged@ccchapel.com. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.